Our Shepherd's View with Bishop Michael Mulvey is generously underwritten by the Corpus Christi Area Chapter of the Knights of Columbus. The Knights, who do so much for the Catholic Church and its many and various ministries, have expanded their support to include the radio evangelization efforts of KLUX HD Radio. Our thanks to the Corpus Christi Area Knights of Columbus for underwriting this segment of Our Shepherd's View.
Welcome to Our Shepherd's View, an in-depth discussion with the Most Reverend Michael Mulvey, 8th Bishop of the Catholic Diocese of Corpus Christi. Join us now as Bishop Mulvey reflects on issues and events facing Catholics and people of all faiths.
Good morning, South Texas, and welcome to Our Shepherd's View on this fifth Sunday of Lent. I'm Barbara Little, here with Bishop Michael Mulvey, and today we will hear and discuss the Gospel from St. John and hear the Word of Life for April. Please stay with us, and we will be right back.
A full day of family, food, fun, and fellowship at Most Precious Blood Catholic Church, Sunday, April 28th. From 11 a.m. till 8 p.m., the Family Center, Gymnasium, and Youth Center will be filled with excited people enjoying the live entertainment and Texas-sized barbecue plates of brisket, potato salad, beans, and a lot more. Additionally, there'll be live and silent auctions, inflatables, games, food booths, vendor booths. The live music will be provided by students of Most Precious Blood School and religious education students. For complete information about MPB's Big Easter Family Barbecue, call the church office, 854-3800, or visit mpbchurch.org.
Welcome back to Our Shepherd's View. Good morning, Bishop, and how are you this morning?
I am well. How are you, Barbara?
I'm fine.
Greetings to everyone in our listening area. Yeah. It's a pleasure to be back with you on this fifth Sunday of Lent, and I'd like to greet all the inmates in our prisons. They're faithfully following our program, and we're very happy to have them with us as well this morning to listen to the Word of God.
Mm-hmm. It's wonderful that they are listening to the program. As I mentioned in the beginning, our gospel this morning is from St. John. But our listeners may have a different gospel this morning, depending on what Mass they're going to in their respective churches.
Right. I think we explain this each year, but it's always worth mentioning that we have the RCIA program, and in these final 3 weeks before Lent, there's special readings for them, which are correspond to our Cycle A. We're in Cycle C right now. So if you're at a Mass where the RCIA people are preparing for the sacraments and their final stages, then you will hear a different reading today. Mm-hmm. But this is the normal one for year C.
Yep. Thank you. So it's the Gospel from St. John. We could prepare our hearts and minds.
Jesus went to the Mount of Olives, but early in the morning he arrived again in the temple area, and all the people started coming to him, and he sat down and taught them. Then the scribes and the Pharisees brought a woman who had been caught in adultery and made her stand in the middle. They said to him, "Teacher, this woman was caught in the very act of committing adultery. Now in the law, Moses commanded us to stone such women. So what do you say?" They said this to test him, so they could have some charge to bring against him. Jesus bent down and began to write on the ground with his finger. Then, when they continued asking him, he straightened up and said to them, "Let the one among you who is without sin be the first to throw a stone at her." Again, he bent down and wrote on the ground. And in response, they went away one by one, beginning with the elders. So he was left alone with the woman before him. Then Jesus straightened up and said to her, "Woman, where are they? Has no one condemned you?" She replied, "No one, sir." Then Jesus said, "Neither do I condemn you. Go, and from now on, do not sin anymore. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. Well, Bishop, when I first read this gospel as I was preparing, it made me think of the gospel we had a month ago when it was talking about, don't look at the splinter in someone else's eye before you remove the plank in your own.
Mm-hmm.
I thought,
right.
Wow.
Right. Yeah, this is where you find critical self-righteousness.
Right.
Where you get to the point, you're following all the rules, you're doing all that you think that God wants you to do, but it's merely mechanical. And I think that's true in some of our lives. We get used to the patterns. And so when we get used to just doing things because it's the way to do things, we lose the meaning. Prayer and following the law can be very enslaving. So I justify myself because I'm doing all these things, but they have no meaning. Mm-hmm. I forget the meaning. I do them, not with my heart, but with my head.
Right.
So what I think is interesting, though, at the beginning of this gospel is that Jesus went to the Mount of Olives. I think we can all remember that this is a place of prayer for Jesus. If you've been to the Holy Land, of course, when you read these things and you've been to the Holy Land, you can almost see it happening, although there are tour buses everywhere. But nevertheless, it's a very stark area at the beginning, kind of the northern part of the desert. So it's very dry and arid and a big gully, you might say, that you go down and come up to the Mount of Olives. And there Jesus would pray. So I would more than likely say that Jesus went to the Mount of Olives to prayer, to spend, as we talked about a few weeks ago, to spend time in this prayer, which hopefully we're dedicating our Lent to this year, and to spend time with his Father. When Jesus would spend time with his Father, of course, he was open to doing whatever the Father wanted him to do. He was open to his will to bring light to human beings. And so obviously he was there in this evening of prayer. But early in the morning, it says, the Gospel of John says, he then went down back through the ravine, better than a gully, back down the ravine and back up to the walls of the city. And there he found himself in the temple area again, where people were coming to him. After prayer with the Father, now another position that he has with the people that he meets in the temple area is that he sat and talked to them. He taught them. Whenever we find Jesus in a sitting position, it's a position of the teacher. Now teachers walk up and down in front of you, and but in the days of the old universities and the time of Jesus, the teaching position of a real teacher was sitting. The cathedra, as they said, right. The chair. You know, this is why they say that so-and-so has the chair of the English department or something, because it's the teaching chair. Uh-huh. It's the sitting position. So Jesus is sitting there and teaching people, and we can only imagine what he was teaching them, the love of God, the love of neighbor, service, whatever he was talking to them about. All of a sudden, that's interrupted. So I think it's good to see the movement of prayer, teaching, and then this interruption in a real situation. Jesus has been praying, he's teaching, and now he has a situation that is being brought to him. And it is a woman who is caught in adultery. And the scribes and the Pharisees put her right in front of him and said to him, "Teacher, this woman was caught in the very act of adultery. What do you think? The law of Moses said we should stone someone like this." But of course, as St. John says, they wanted to test him. What do you say that we do? Whether it was to spend a little time in reflection, he bent down with his finger and was drawing in the sand. Some say it was to take a bit of time for reflection before answering, which is always good to think before you speak. Or it could have been, as many have said over the years, that he was writing down the sins of the very scribes and Pharisees that brought the woman to him. But again, this is the wisdom that comes from God by being in union with God. Instead of just saying, either arguing with them or trying to reason with these people. Jesus simply says, let the one among you who has no sin, again, who doesn't have a splinter in their eye, you be the first to throw the stone. And totally relying on the grace of God that no one would do that because we all sin. Jesus himself knew that all those in the crowd there, you know, we're all sinners. And one by one, they put their rocks down and they left. This also brings out the mercy of God.
Right.
The God's mercy, as you've said a couple of weeks ago, that Jesus really came to be that light of God's mercy to us. So he turns to the woman, has no one condemned you? And she said, no one, sir. But he doesn't leave her there. He also teaches her, then leave, but do not commit sin anymore. So he wasn't giving her, as you might say, a free ride to go back to your profession. But if no one's condemned you, then neither does God. And whenever anyone truly is sorry for their sin, as this woman, I would say, obviously was, when that sorrow is there and they are given that experience of grace, that grace enters their heart to bring a conversion into their own life. And so she was able to walk away from that way of life because someone, again, spent time listening to her, getting to know her name, getting to know her situation, and protecting her from the hostilities that come from the world, giving her the dignity of being a child of God.
So I think of this, too, is when he said, go, and from now on, do not sin anymore, that immediately made me think of reconciliation, the sacrament of reconciliation.
Yeah, sure. But it's also, you know, do not sin anymore. It's not just that sin.
Right.
He's really saying all sin.
Right.
You know,
right.
I love in the Mass, and just thinking of it today, is do not look upon our sins, but on the faith of the Church. And so here again, I think that fits very well here. When things like that are put in the liturgy, it's because it's experienced in the Gospels that the life of Jesus has brought us that light. Do not look upon our sins, but upon the faith of the Church. We belong to the body of Christ. We belong into the life together. And our strength is really being together as the body of Christ, as brothers and sisters. And so we can avoid sin. We can avoid temptations. The more faith we have in the Father, but also to have that together, to share that faith together as a community of faith. So I think this is a very beautiful. It's one of my favorite gospel passages because you get this poor woman not only being drugged there, but being embarrassed, being talked about, being exposed, and yet Jesus looks beyond all that. The human conventions that might put somebody down, he looks beyond all of that and just simply says, go and sin no more.
Well, it was like the word of life that we had in March, be merciful as the Father has been merciful to you.
Yeah, exactly.
Wonderful gospel. All right, well, we are going to take a short break, and when we return, we will have the word of life for April. Please stay with us, and we will be right back.
The Sunday following Easter is Divine Mercy Sunday. The Retreat Center at Our Lady of Corpus Christi is presenting a Divine Mercy Weekend Retreat, April 26th through 28th, at their facilities, 1200 Lantana. You're invited to gain a deeper understanding of the mercy of God. Learn to trust in Jesus and live a life reflecting His mercy to others. The retreat begins at 5:30 p.m. on Friday, the 26th of April, and concludes at 1:30 p.m. the following Sunday. To register for this memorable event, visit OurLadyOfCorpusChristi.org or call 361-289-9095.
Welcome back to Our Shepherd's View. Well, this is our first Sunday of April, so we have another wonderful line from the Gospel for our Word of Life.
Right, and of course, you'll all recognize it. It comes from the Gospel of John, the 13th chapter, in which Jesus is at the Last Supper and he washes the disciples' feet. And at the end, he says, if I, your Lord and Master, have washed, or teacher, have washed your feet, you must wash each other's. So that's our word of life. And a dramatic scene, but a simple exhortation of Jesus to each one of us during April. So if I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you ought also to wash one another's feet. When recalling the last few hours spent with Jesus before his death, John the Evangelist focuses on the washing of the feet. In the past, in the Middle East, this was a sign of welcome, usually done by servants toward guests who had arrived after traveling on dusty roads. It was for this very reason that the disciples at first did not want to let their teacher do this. But then he explained, "So if I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet." Through this very meaningful gesture, John reveals the whole mission of Jesus. He who is Lord and teacher entered into human history to meet everyone, to serve us, and to lead us back to the encounter with the Father. Day after day throughout his earthly life, Jesus constantly stripped himself of every sign of his greatness. That evening, he was preparing to give his life on the cross. He gave as his legacy to his disciples this fundamental teaching. "So if I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet." It is a clear and simple invitation, one that we can all understand and put into practice immediately. In every situation, in all social and cultural contexts. Having received the revelation of God's love through Jesus' life and words, Christians owe it to their neighbors to strive to imitate Jesus. By welcoming and serving their brothers and sisters, they become ambassadors of love. They aim to do so as Jesus did, first by loving in practical ways, and then by accompanying those actions with words of hope and friendship. Our witness is all the more effective the more we selflessly turn our attention to the poor, while we reject servile attitudes towards people who have power and prestige. Even when faced with complex and tragic situations beyond our control, there is still something we can and must do to contribute to the good of society. We can get involved generously with a sense of responsibility and without expecting any kind of reward. Moreover, Jesus asks us to bear witness to love in all aspects of our lives, not only personally, but also as a community, as a people of God whose fundamental law is mutual love. "So if I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet." After these words, Jesus added, "For I have set you an example that you also should do as I have done to you. If you know these things, you are blessed if you do them." Reflecting on this phrase of the gospel, Kiara Lubick wrote in a commentary to Scripture on April 1982, quote, "You are blessed. The mutual service and reciprocal love that Jesus taught through this surprising action is therefore one of the Beatitudes. How then will we live the word during this month? Jesus does not ask us to imitate him by blindly copying what he did, even though it remains as a shining and unbeatable example. Doing what Jesus did means understanding that our Christian life has meaning if we live for others, if we consider our existence as a service to our brothers and sisters, and we base our whole life on this. Then we will have achieved what Jesus has most at heart. We will have lived the gospel and will be blessed truly."
You know, it's another wonderful line of scripture. And with Holy Thursday coming up, you know, in the next couple of weeks, it just makes us visually think about all of this.
Sure. Yeah.
if he could do it to his disciples, we should be able to do it to others.
Yeah. Right. I mean, it's certainly a dramatic symbol. It's a dramatic symbol that we have every Thursday, Holy Thursday, I'm sorry, where feet are washed. To call to mind that dramatic moment on the night before he died, mm-hmm. when Jesus certainly had other things on his mind, other tensions in his life, and yet wanting to form these 12 as his disciples, he took off his outer garment, which is the sign of a servant, and bent down and washed their dirty feet, as we're reminded, from the dusty roads. Mm-hmm. But he did it as a sign of service, but a service that would reach beyond just feet, a service that really reached into the needs of the human person, whether it's feeding, whether it's clothing, and the corporal works of mercy, the spiritual works of mercy, all of these things, stopping and listening to somebody in need, someone who has no one to listen to them. These are all could be encapsulated in that term, mm-hmm. washing people's feet, being of service, that this is what our life is about. You know, there's so many, the church is so rich in so many ways. And yet the heart of it is this washing, mm-hmm. Of the feet, this service to God and service to one another. When we don't, we tragically find ourselves in a position that the church is in today, always able to renew itself. However, when we stop washing others' feet and we only wash our own, we're back in where we started from. Mm-hmm. We're in without the light of Christ. So the way out of any situation where sin has entered in, where the devil has tempted us to turn away from certain things, the way out of that is to rededicate ourselves to one another, to washing one another's feet. You know, many of the saints who had these conversions throughout the centuries of the church, it was always a conversion away from themselves, because there was, in many of them, I'm thinking of just a few right off the top of my head, there's a certain narcissism, which we would call today a narcissism, which is not just totally neurotic, but it's a certain turning in on ourselves, mm-hmm. paying attention to what I want, my needs.
It's all about me.
It's all about me. And that's the opposite of Christianity. So this very dramatic scene of Jesus washing the feet of the others as they came in for the Last Supper, after the Last Supper, he really is turning the attention away from himself, each of us away from ourselves, in serving those around us.
Mm-hmm. And it said in the reading that he asked us to bear witness. Jesus asked us to bear witness to love in all aspects of our lives, not only personally, but also as a community, mm-hmm. as a people of God whose fundamental law is mutual love.
Right. And, you know, of course, the community is where that mutual love is fostered and grows. And it's the community then that can go out. Mm-hmm. And I just want to say there's so many beautiful signs in our communities around the city and around the country, but especially in our diocese, where faith communities, our Catholic communities, get together and they want to do for others, or they want to invite them in. I know parishes during Thanksgiving have put aside their own comfort of being with families to invite others in who don't have families, and serving them in a Thanksgiving meal. So things like that, they really are signs that Christ is living in that community, that he is still washing people's feet through us, and that's who we are.
Well, and they've ended now, but I can think of the fish fries that so many of our churches have had, even though they're money makers, but they bring so many people from the community that may not come to the church.
Right, and fill our blood veins with
with wonderful fried food.
With wonderful, wonderful, good fried food. Yes, I think that's a little bit of a stretch there, Barbara, but we'll let it go for this time, yeah. But it certainly is. It's bringing people together. And I know that, you know, if there's someone poor that comes by, that would certainly be a gift. I remember in one of my my first parish that we had a yard day, we called it, and it just brought, I mean, it was about 70 or 80 people. It surprised us. They all came, and we cleaned up the yard. We planted new flowers. We took up all the grass. We planted new grass. And the ladies, the elderly ladies that couldn't do those kind of things, they came and they cooked and they made coffee and they brought kolaches and sandwiches and we had a feast. But there was somebody that came off the highway, and we right on Highway 35 in Waco. And I was just really touched by one of the parishioners who not only showed them where to get a bite to eat, but went with them. And when I went back in the hall later to see, they were sitting around this person talking to him. So it was not just feeding, but it was also feeding their soul, talking to them and visiting with them. So these are the signs of the Christian life. This is the fruit of a good community that wants to wash others' feet.
Thank you, Bishop. If you could end our session this morning with a prayer and a blessing.
Let us pray. Keep your family, O Lord, schooled always in good works. And so comfort them with your protection here as to lead them graciously to gifts on high. Through Christ our Lord. Amen. May Almighty God bless you, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Thank you, Bishop, and thank you for sharing your Sunday morning with us. Have a wonderful rest of your day and a blessed week.
This has been Our Shepherd's View with the Most Reverend Michael Mulvey, Bishop of Corpus Christi. If you have questions for the Bishop, write to Our Shepherd's View, 1200 Lantana, Corpus Christi, 78407. Or we invite you to email your questions and comments to osv@klux.org. Our Shepherd's View is a production of CCN, the Catholic Communications Network.
The preceding program, Our Shepherd's View with Bishop Michael Mulvey, was underwritten by the Corpus Christi Area Knights of Columbus, predominantly in the Diocese of Corpus Christi. We at KLUX HD appreciate the continued support of the Area Knights of Columbus, and in particular, their underwriting of this segment of Our Shepherd's View.